Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we're back.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
That person, a normal person that was born as a child, turned into something else. Takes a gun, you know, points at his family, takes their lives, turns around, and takes his own. From a relationship that turned into toxic. Oh my goodness. I have to be that abrupt with it. I have to be that abrupt with it because that's why it's so important that you know how close one can get. And you get so close to where it, fear takes over.
Absolutely. Well, you know, when you speak about the first relationship being with the self, That's where everything starts. And if at the base, at the root of your relationship with yourself, there is dysfunction because you have been raised with a feeling of not being enough. You've been raised with feelings of not being worthy. You've been raised with feelings of fear of abandonment, fear of rejection, because you have been abandoned or rejected, then that creates a foundation where you are not accepting yourself as being enough. And so you're needing someone else to validate you. So this whole idea of having to have someone outside of yourself define your worth is what creates those kinds of relationships that are imbalanced, where you're seeing someone as a possession as opposed to a partner.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that person, for whatever reason, chooses to move away from the relationship or end the relationship, you're not able to accept it because you are believing that that person's moving away from you is then confirming what you fear about yourself as being unworthy. And this is where you see those distorted reactions of rage and violence. If I can't have you, no one can have you. And then you see it result in sometimes violence that leads to a fatality, a killing.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly not a stable mental process. But how many of us operate in that mode in small ways with jealousy or obsessiveness? And we're believing that this is a sign of love, but it is not. It's a sign of your own belief in your own defectiveness, your own lack, your own unworthiness. And you're always fearing someone is going to confirm your fears that you are unworthy and not enough. So this becomes a very common way that we accept relationships as being the intense possessiveness. Again, as you said, believing that you need someone else for your survival. Often you find yourself holding on to someone who is themselves also needy and defective, and the two become codependent. So you see these kinds of relationships. Often someone who may have an addiction and someone who becomes the enabler who is afraid for that person to leave them, even though that person really needs to be in solitude so they can heal from their addiction. And often we're holding on to someone with the mistaken belief, if they love me enough, they'll stop drinking. If they love me enough, they'll stop getting high. If they love me enough, they'll lose weight. If they love me enough, they'll stop having relationships outside of this one. You know, all these things that we're in our own minds equating our self-worth with their behavior, when their behavior has nothing to do with us. Their behavior is a reflection of their own internal battle. But because we are feeling inadequate, we're believing that their behavior defines our worth. And so we hold on to a relationship hoping that somehow they're going to confirm our self-worth by changing their behavior to what we would like them to project. And it becomes an ongoing cycle until one of the parties finally evolves to a state of emotional health and well-being where they don't need to continue using that other person to define their own self-worth.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the hardest thing in human nature to realize is that we cannot control other people.
Absolutely.
You can try. You can do whatever. I don't care if you're doing backflips. I don't care if you continue to do exactly what they want you to do. You can stand on top of the moon. But guess what? Ain't nothing going to happen because eventually you're going to collide because that is what happens when one gets about faith and not really allow the truth to set them free. You become in bondage. You literally are living a life of misery and you have got comfortable with that misery. You can get comfortable with it because we know that to be true in areas of domestic violence that, you know, one can get comfortable and learn helplessness. And before you realize that you have adapted to dysfunction, to the distorted behavior, and not even, you know, trying to free yourself anymore. So, you know, and then it's a state of brokenness that you are suffering with, and you're not looking to be healed anymore because you think it's impossible. I can't be healed. And you really believe you have to stay in that relationship. And, you know, for whatever factors there is, it is. Sometimes even if you have a mindset of, oh, you know, God wouldn't want me to leave this marriage, so I'll stay in this marriage. Or God would not want me to, you know, say what I have towards my mother or my father because they're mistreating me, so I must allow them to mistreat me, and I can't say, and I have to take my voice away. Where is that written down? That's not even a rule of thumb. What it is, that the truth will set you free when you allow the truth to set you free and when you get out of your emotions.
Yes.
One cannot make a decision if you are totally emotional about the situation because you're going to find yourself in a place where you're going to get S-T-U-C-K, and that's called stuck, okay? Stuck and entangled. You're going to get entangled.
Absolutely.
Because you cannot make a conscious decision if you are emotional. Well, you're just going to cycle. It's going to be extremely painful. Then it'll subside a little bit. Then it'll get extreme. It just takes you into a vicious, vicious cycle. So what should one do when they know they are caught up? And we can just take a relationship between a mother and a daughter.
Ooh.
Let's go there first.
Yeah, that's. And we want you all to call in if you're in a relationship and you are not knowing how to make it better. Maybe it's painful, but maybe you're believing that I should stay here and keep suffering or, you know, just pray for them. Maybe they'll get better. Or, well, I prayed and God didn't change them. What should I do? If you're stuck and you've been in that situation for a long time and it has not changed, but something inside of you won't let you leave, or maybe financially you can't leave, whatever the situation is, we want you to give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll open your mic and get your thoughts. I'm glad you said that about the mother-daughter relationship because that is so critical to the formation of a woman's self-esteem, her relationship with her mother. And many times we give birth to children when we are not in our highest state of self-esteem. And so what we do unknowingly is that we project our low self-esteem onto our children. We will say things to them about them that we're really feeling about ourselves. When we get frustrated with a child that may be doing something that we don't like, and we say things like, you're so stupid, you're so hard-headed, you know, and we're really projecting onto them what we feel about ourselves and our ability perhaps to control something in ourselves. You're so messy, you're so disorganized. We will say things to a child, condemning the child, without realizing, number one, this is a child. They're here learning how to maneuver in this environment. Our job as parents is to teach them, not to condemn them for not knowing, but to teach them. So if you have a relationship in which your parent has been extremely critical of shortcomings that you have, well, your conscious and subconscious mind has recorded all of those disparaging remarks that made you feel inadequate, and they become a part of how you see yourself. And it's difficult to heal from that kind of verbal abuse because we haven't until recently been defining that as verbal abuse. because we haven't understood that you don't speak to a child in a way that is disparaging and insulting. We have just recently understood, and many of us still have not, children's personalities and self-concept is formed in those first 4 years of their living on this earth, in this physical life experience. And so everything that they see and hear is affecting their self-image and their self-worth and their perception of reality. So if they're constantly getting criticism and condemnation and threats of violence if they don't do something, and then violence if they do something, how is that giving them a sense of security and feelings of being loved unconditionally? Well, it isn't, because unfortunately, in our cultures, love is conditional, which really isn't love. Mm-hmm. It's, I will love you if you reflect to me a feeling that confirms my self-worth as a parent. And if you don't, then I'm not going to love you, because that's really what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Your child is someone to whom you're projecting your own beliefs about yourself. So if you have had children while you are not in a state of high self-esteem, you're going to damage that child rather than raise them and guide them and gently correct them when they make mistakes. And there is a big difference in those parenting styles. We have so many parents who are believing that it's tough love if you're harsh with them or you're stern with them. And we're believing that insults are going to motivate a child to strive harder to please us. Well, look at what pattern that sets up. I have to work to be loved. I have to strive to be loved. I have to not make mistakes in order to be loved. That sets you up for that kind of relationship, where you're going to accept abuse, believing that that's a normal way people should be treated, believing that you have to earn love. And so with that mother-daughter relationship, if a daughter is feeling that she is not acceptable as she is, not worthy of love as she is, because her mother has instilled that thought in her because her mother's self-esteem is low, then that becomes how she defines herself. And then she seeks out relationships to try to affirm her self-worth. And what kind of relationships do you attract when you're believing that you are unworthy of love? You attract relationships that confirm your belief about yourself, that you are unworthy of love. So you end up with people who are emotionally absent or even physically absent, people who may verbally abuse you, people who may even physically abuse you. If you had the mother-daughter relationship where your mother believed in harsh physical punishment, she's setting you up to believe that this is love. This is what love feels like. Love hurts if I am less than perfect. And then I accept being hurt for not being less than, for being less than perfect, because that's the foundation that my mother laid. Now, conversely, you can have a mother-daughter relationship that's very healthy, very very loving, very nurturing, very affirming, and you are going to have a healthy sense of self-esteem. And therefore, you're going to be fulfilled within yourself. And so what you attract to you is someone who shares the happiness you already have, not somebody who makes you happy or that you think has to make you happy. They're attracted to what's already projected in you, your own inner joy, inner peace, your capacity to love because you have received love. So you can share what you already have, and that's what you attract, someone who is enjoying what you already have, and you're enjoying it with them. You don't need them to give it to you to make you feel better. You already feel good,
right?
And you're sharing your good feeling. So you can see what your foundation is based on what the person in your life is reflecting to you about how you feel about yourself. And then think about what was implanted in you by that very reflective relationship of mother and daughter.
Mm-hmm. And once you allow themselves to heal, and the thing about it is, again, we get so caught up in words and gestures of things. Like you said, when we were children, if we were ever told you weren't good enough, if you were ever told that I regret having you, if you were ever told any disheartening words, they stuck with you subconsciously. That means that even if you didn't want to remember, it still was recorded in your brain. So that changed the way you feel about yourself. And as you live, you didn't have to ask yourself, and at some given point, you know, do I have to live this way? Do I have to continue to believe this action, this behavior that I was given by someone that I thought loved me? Or do I change? Do I allow myself to change and to look at the better side of life? Because there is a better side. Now, the thing about this, Naima, what happens is a lot of times we get traumatized by those things that you're talking about, right? When a loving individual, such as what we're supposed to receive, which is a matriarch, let's say, like we're talking about mother, when our mother does not give us the love that we feel we need or we feel we should deserve, you know, and when that does not happen, then we become traumatized. Traumatized is where everything changes in your brain. You know, everything, if you ever, you get triggered by the smallest details from the largest things, and you start, the person that you thought you were, you're no longer that person. You become a person of what they call victimized. You become a person of very high sensitivity to emotional things. It's from the smallest to the largest. And you're like, well, who am I? You know, how did I lose myself? How did I lose myself in that discomfort? Am I still living my childhood era? Yes, you are. You're still living that I don't feel good enough. You're still living, I'm not sure. You're still living with the insecurities. You're still living, and when does that stop? When do you really realize that you are repeating the same patterns over and over and over again? You know, some of the patients in the hospital, they're in their 50s and still living with their childhood mind.
Yeah.
Still thinking that, you know, no one cares about me. I am not worthy enough. I am not loved. They're still living in that brokenness.
Yeah.
When does the brokenness stop? What should happen? What can happen to allow this transition to take place? Well, we're going to call three things. Three things. We have 1 minute that we're going to continue this afterwards. But the first one is called self-awareness. If you are not self-aware of your pain, you cannot repair or heal from your pain. You got to know that you have an active part in your life, and pain is not active all the time. One will continue to live their mental pain, their emotional pain, over and over again because you are not self-aware that you have learned to adapt to your pain. Now that pain is just like your arm. It's like your eyes. It's like the mouth you speak, and you don't come out of it. I'm so sorry that's not an option for you. You got to understand where you are in life and then say, okay, when is enough? How much suffering do you have to do? Do you have to live? Do you have to create for you to realize that this is an error? What has to happen? What self-defeat, self-sabotage, self-destruction? Do you not know? If you're not totally consciously aware, you can only cycle but so deep until you become self-destructive.
Absolutely. Yes.
And that's extremely important. But we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission
is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
As a wordologist, I use a lot of times in workshops and learning labs. Last night on the sister station IWDM Radio, we still have the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab that come next year in the end of January. Will be our fifth anniversary, in which Naima Latif early on was the co-host of that. A very important learning lab, and a topic was on the unhappy voice. The unhappy voice. Oftentimes in relationships, he was talking about mother-daughter relationship, father-son relationship, husband-wife relationship, that people oftentimes become victims. And so when you look at the word victim, the acronym I like to use is Vision Inside Choosing to Improve Mentality or Mindset. We'll be talking about the vision in terms of how we see ourselves, but we have the freedom to choose a different vision of ourselves in terms of improving our mindset or mentality that it is that we have. In relationship, especially with children, they learn what they live, and that can be positive or negative. And as both of you are putting a lot of emphasis on love, and love is so very, very needed and necessary in the relationship, we can use the word can, very simple word, C-A-N, that true love always means that every human being, including our children, have to feel connected, very important, and not feel like they're abandoned. And that A stands for accepted. You know, the acceptance, that is a part of the type of love that we want to show for our children, and we don't want them to feel rejected. And then the N stands for nurtured. There is no true love relationship, be it parent and child, be it husband and wife, or any relationship that exemplifies what true love is, and it's not nurturing, and it can't be abusive. Very, very, very important. And this forms what we want to have is a bond, a bonding. And this is another jewel I think is very important, because we want to build on natural development. That's what bond is. But if it's bonding, we want to be able to build on natural development and nurturing growth in the relationship. And so the negativity that I heard Naima speak about, and you also, Dr. Green, in terms of going into the subconscious, there is nothing to really build on. So anything that is built, it has to have a foundation. And if the foundation is weak, then the relationship will be weak, and it can't support, you know, the natural development that will actually occur. You know, the social scientists study everything, and Naima mentioned about, you know, four in terms of formative years, but they say by the time that a child reaches the age of 10, that 90% of their personality has been formed. And when we look at the word ality in words personality, ality is a play on the word reality, the reality of the person as that person is. There is a self that the Creator has created us to be, and then there's a socialization, acculturation that most people present themselves in. So it's so very, very important when we talk about parent and parenting, and also the social environment in which they come up will have a positive or negative effect on them. And Dr. Green, you're so spot on in terms of what is operating in the subconscious. It can have a negative psychological effect, which also will also affect that person emotionally, also spiritually, socially, and also rationally, you know, even as a rational being, because they will always operate from emotions, and we know emotionality can, it has a duality to it, where there are positive emotions, there are negative emotions, and what is it is that we will be expressing. I could go on and on and on in regards to this. I was just going to listen, but I wanted to just share those things so that we would understand how it is that we're talking about establishing and building. You know, we think about in terms of concrete building as we see that and have a basic and fundamental knowledge. The same concept and precept is in terms of building relationships. We want to have a solid foundation, and so we don't want to sabotage the relationship. We want to use words of confirmation and not words of defamation when we are addressing our children. The love has to be twofold in terms of how we act and react to them, but also what it is that we say to them. You know, we should be seeing ourselves as leaders, raising leaders. I really like to see us change the concept in terms of parenting. Parenting is so important. Just think, what if every parent today, bar race, creed, or color, or what, would begin to raise their children to become leaders and exemplify leadership first and foremost for themselves, then their family, community. And having that mindset, we could produce some world leaders. I could say more, but I think I've said enough. I'm going to stop there. As always, I'm enjoying this production here on email. Thank you. Allah, God bless all of us with a better understanding. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. We appreciate you so much, Brother Marsha. He who does the he does parenting and family reconstruction, and also the courtship and marriage learning lab. And you know, I have to say about Marsha, he has such a good spirit. He's such a good sport. You know, when I was co-hosting the shows on relationships, we would do role playing. And we would show people the right way to handle a situation and the wrong way to handle a situation. And so, you know, when there's a situation and maybe a couple, we'd play maybe husband and wife, and a couple would be trying to work out a conflict, and showing the wrong way to do it, I would demonstrate all the verbal abuse and meanness that couples often have, because you know when you hear couples argue, they say some really awful things to each other, you know, even though they're supposed to be in love. Right. And I would demonstrate, you know, that kind of meanness and harsh language and insulting. Oh, you're so stupid. How come you couldn't blah blah blah? You know, just really. But these are things that people do to each other. And
yes,
you know, and then of course I'd show the right way, and then we'd say, oh well, honey, let's talk about it, and maybe we can do this and that. You know, we'd always show the audience the different ways. But sometimes after the show, I would call Brother Mark and apologize because I could feel that I affected his spirit, even though it was all role play. But hearing someone call you names or talk to you meanly, that affects your spirit.
Of course.
And I was feeling that, so I had to call him and apologize and say those affirming things and everything to kind of lift them back up, because I can feel that it was, you know, even though it was role play, it still affects you. Words are powerful. Tone of voice is powerful.
Yes.
And we had a lot of fun doing it, but, you know, really, when people hear what it sounds like, saying things that we say to those that we say we love, and you think, oh, do I sound like that? Am I talking to my husband like that? Am I talking to my wife like that? Am I talking to my child like that? Yes, sometimes you are. And you're not realizing how hurtful it is to the spirit of that person that you say you love. And when it's a child and they don't have the emotional capacity to defend themselves or to ignore you or to discount what you're saying, they haven't built enough self-esteem in their lives to be able to block out all your meanness or just say, oh, well, she just had a bad day. They can't do that. They accept all the ugly words and tones of voice as a sign that they are unworthy and defective, and that becomes internalized, and that becomes the personality that Mark is talking about that's formed 90% at by age 10. If you've heard 10 years worth of, you're so messy, why can't you clean up your room? You're so hard-headed, I told you to do it this way. What's wrong with you? If you heard 10 years of that, that becomes what you have ingested as your identity. And how do you undo that? And so you're bringing that unhealthy belief about yourself into a relationship with someone. You can't have a healthy relationship with someone else until you have a healthy relationship with yourself, until you believe good things about yourself, until you heal from the damage of parents who may not have good feelings about themselves. And so they projected that on you. And that's where we have to start. We have to heal that foundation. So forgiving that parent who didn't know that they were damaging you because they were really expressing their frustration at themselves, to heal from that, you have to be able to forgive them, not saying, well, it was right that they called me stupid or lazy or ignorant or hard-headed. Not that that was right, but that you understand they didn't know any better. They really didn't know any better.
Right.
And that's what helps you to forgive.
Mm-hmm. You know, I always tell people, because words are such powerful, oh my goodness, they have so much energy behind them. Just like just imagine if you eat food has to go through all of your entire body to be processed, and then whatever is not needed, it's expelled. But guess what? It's the same thing with words. Words go through our mind. It goes through our heart. It goes through our spirit. Even goes to our soul. So just damaging words that we are permeated with, damaging words to anything to self-defeat, self-sabotage, lead to self-destruction. So when these damaging words, and in your perception, if you receive it as damage, and see, that is the key pointer. Because like you were saying, you said 10 years old, the personality is developed. But the thing about it, it's not the logic. The personality comes from characteristics, habits, different type of responses and reactions from could actually be transported or transitioned from a loved one, you know what I'm saying, in genealogy, you know, and also from environmental stimuli, okay? So when that happens but the logic in the mind from temple to temple, frontal lobe is not even developed until that person is actually 24 years old. So they have to go through all their interchanges of understanding how to respond and how to react, and knowing the difference, because there's a big difference between responding and reacting. And if you're self-consciously damaged from trauma, abuse, or any type of crisis, you know, that you might have suffered in your life, that is going to change your eye perception. Your eye perception is what you see, what you hear. Someone can look at the same thing and hear the same thing, but they get a different perception with it. So, you know, if you're thinking with a victim mindset, then you are always going to feel inferior, because that's just the way that's your perception of life. So no matter if it's not even giving you off fear, because fear does not exist on the outside of you. It exists in your mind, because it is a choice. It's a choice to be in fear. It's a choice not to be in fear. So even if it's a child, you know, automatically it's just responding to fear. It doesn't know it has a choice, because it keeps responding the same way. Right before we went to break, I told you there's several things that one must do and have to have the understanding to keep themselves in a certain plateau when they're dealing with life. You know, it's first self-awareness. Self-awareness comes with self-acknowledgement. It also comes where you have a self-initiative and using self-love. Because if you are aware of the damage, then why would you not try to heal from it if you are aware of it? And some people are aware of it, but they are afraid to touch it because they feel it's going to cause them pain, and they run away from pain. Pain is not there to deteriorate you. It's there to tell you it's something that you need to handle. You need to grow. You need to expel. You need to move on. That's what pain is for. It is not to tear us down, but to really build us up. But again, because our human nature doesn't like to feel uncomfortable, and because sometimes we get so comfortable in the uncomfortable, then it becomes toxic. So, you know, understanding the core concept of how you think, how you're made up, how your mind, your heart, your spirit responds to this thing that you're dealing with. And we call that the brokenness, right? Broken relationships from the time that you were born to the time you are now. So when does it come a time, like I asked before, that you're going to say enough is enough, you know what I'm saying, and not continue the cycling? Because if you continue the cycling, the only thing that's going to happen is what they call mental illness, okay? So which means that you're going to go into cycles of depression. You're going to go into cycles of anxiety. And they're going to keep happening, reoccurring, and even when you're not expecting them, it's just going to keep happening over and over again. And it is just the pain asking you a question. What do you want to do with me now?
What do you want to do with me now?
Do you want me to stay here and lay dormant, or do you want me to keep reminding you that it is something you have to deal with? And when the emotions come up, they're the same, but it's for you to handle it. I call it like bubbles in the ocean. The bubbles are on the ocean floor. It takes years, months, sometimes time bringing it up to the surface. And when we feel it, we immediately either do one or two things. We either run away from it or we ignore it because we are afraid of it. But we already say, okay, I don't want to go through this anymore.
Absolutely.
I'm tired.
No one
I'm
wants
tired.
To relive pain.
I'm weary. I'm
but let
weary.
Me ask you this, though. You know, as we look at the first mother-daughter relationship, then, of course, you've got the father-daughter relationship, you know, father-son relationship, mother-son relationship, and all of those things that lay the foundation for our emotional well-being, the relationship with our fathers or mothers. And how that impacts our self-image. But in seeing the trend, unfortunately, of many people being raised in households where there is not an example of a loving couple, maybe the mother and father are in conflict, and this is what you've seen. Or maybe the father is absent and the daughter observes how her mother may respond to the father with a lot of anger and even wanting the daughter to share that anger. You know, I want you to affirm my self-worth by taking my side against your father, which I see is very unhealthy and very damaging. But in those situations, if a woman is raised in an environment where she is not witnessing a healthy romantic relationship that her mother has, if she's not seeing what that looks like, then how does she avoid repeating that cycle of either being attracted to someone who is ultimately emotionally absent and then eventually physically absent, as maybe she saw in her own mother's life, or attracting someone to her that is not affirming her worth or is in conflict with her, as she may have seen in her own mother's life? How does she avoid repeating that cycle if she hasn't seen a healthy relationship and knows what it looks like and, importantly, what it feels like?
Well, first of all, she's going to go through the cycling, okay? It's going to happen because it's coming from a generational platform, you know, which means that as Carolyn Hunter, actually one of our watchers on Facebook Live, she says, if you are aware of the pain, then you should desire to heal from it. So, which means that you know, it's one of those things. Pain is going to initiate something. So like you said, you know, you see a distorted, you see a dysfunction relationship. So now here comes that power of choice. That power of choice is going to have to be initiated at some given time. Whether she's that young lady, okay, that or she's whether she's 10 years old, the 13, the 15, the 25, something is going to happen because guess what? That relationship that you talk about is going to start early in life. Early in life, it's going to start in her, not just in her teenage years. It's going to start in her childhood years with you know, playing on the playground, and then it's going to then travel into the schoolyard. Then it's going to travel into the school, in the classroom, and then it's going to keep traveling because that is the way of the what she's been exposed to, right? So here comes what they call, again, self-awareness. Oh, this thing is happening to me. And she may feel, if she's a victim, like, oh, I can't help it. This is going to keep happening for the rest of my life. And if that's what the choice that she's making, that's exactly what's going to happen because that choice then is going to cause a current of different repercussions, situations, circumstances, and consequences because of that one choice of thinking, you know, whatever you're thinking in your heart, you're going to become. That's just the way it is. So you're not changing anything until you are totally aware, okay, I've seen this happen before. I've seen this happen two or three times. Okay, this is something that I'm going through. So what am I to do with this? Well, I don't want to do this anymore. So here comes another broken relationship or a situation that's similar to that. Now, that person then has to say, wait a minute, I'm not looking at this the same way. I'm not going to react the same way in habits and behavior. I have to do something different to get something different. Because if I don't, it's just going to keep happening, and then I'm going to be a victim all over again, and that is uncomfortable.
Yes. Well, I know we have to take a break, but when we come back, we need to take a look at once you decide that you don't want to keep experiencing pain, how do you change? And one trend that I see, unfortunately, with a lot of young women who may have grown up in a family where the father was absent, often they will react with, well, I'm going to make sure I hold on to my man, and they hold on to people who are really not affirming their self-worth because inside they're still fearing that they're not worthy of love. And so they hold on to someone because they don't want to feel that feeling of abandonment or loss. But they're holding on to someone who is not affirming their worth, and they're accepting mistreatment, believing that they must hold on. So we'll take a look at that when we come back, and other wisdom and knowledge from Dr. Debbie as we take this next break. And, of course, we want to remind you, if you're listening online, we want you to join this conversation. Give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll open your mic. And if you're on a switchboard now and you have a comment or question, just press 1, and we will gladly open your mic and get your thoughts. And we'll be right back after this break, so stay with us.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
If you stay in a situation, then you're
just staying in it. And, you know, she had a few children. I think they had 3 children. And even her sons and daughter were saying, Mom, why don't you just leave? I mean, so once they got to be of, you know, teenage, and they were seeing that it was hurtful, and they were feeling resentful toward their father, so the whole thing became unhealthy for everyone involved. They were hurt when she was hurt. You know, they'd see her crying after the father had said these awful things or, you know, verbally assaulted her and just talked down to her. And they had gotten to the age where they were old enough to make decisions and see when something wasn't right. And they said, well, why don't you leave? And you know, again, religious, well, you know, God wants me to stay and be faithful. And so when a person is stuck in that cycle of choosing to endure pain, believing because of religious indoctrination that somehow it's their duty to stay in a marriage in which they have made vows to stay until death do you part, is there a way to break that cycle of pain, or that's just a person has just chosen to stay in pain, believing that, well, if I pray hard enough, he will change? How do you change that situation?
Well, one must look from the perception of, just like you said, from death do we part. Think about the word death. Death means something that is coming to an end, is it not? I mean, in the natural sense.
Yeah.
Okay? All right? So something came to an end. There was a breach. There was a separation mentally. There was a let me say it a little differently. There was an injury mentally. There was an injury as well as emotionally. There was an injury as well as soulfully with this situation. There was an injury in the heart. There was an injury in the mind. There was an injury in all of these areas. And when there's an injury, there has to be some type of dysfunction, right? There has to be some type of loss, you know? And the thing about it is, when it is ongoing, think about it. Think about an injury, okay? If you never become healed from an injury that is ongoing, what can happen? What is going to happen? It's going to deteriorate.
Yes.
Right? And again, all of those areas, every last one of those areas are deterioration. And see, this is where things start getting very truly, you know, dysfunctional, where someone would use the word of God to say you have to be in a relationship that's self-defeating, that's self-sabotaging, and self-destructive. All of those things replicate destiny.
Mm.
What is it? It's not life.
Right. So you're already in a dead relationship.
Until death do you part.
So when the love is dead, you should part.
Ta-da.
Absolutely.
Ta-da. Now, everyone doesn't think that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think of what a religious mindset, you're not going to see the truth in that word.
Right, right.
Okay, we have a comment here. I truly believe, this is from Carolyn Hunter, our Facebook Live viewer, I truly believe people need to get out for unresolved pain from the past in order to truly move forward. Absolutely. Absolutely. But you got to understand what death is. And a lot of people don't understand. They think it's a physical death.
Yes.
That's what they think. They think it's
dead,
a physical death. And if death is when that thing is no longer active, it does not have life, no matter how much you tell it, no matter how much you touch it, no matter how much you allow it, it does not have life. You can sit there and you can watch that dead thing all you want to. You can drag it around all you want to. You can hold on to it all you want to. And guess what? I don't care what you do with it. It does not have life. So what do you do? You walking around,
dragging around a carcass.
Yes, like a carcass.
Wow.
It's a carcass. And then you want to know why you deteriorate mentally and emotionally. Because dead things attach to dead things. They attract dead things. How can you, that don't start me up in here. How can you have life if you're holding on to dead things?
Oh my
goodness, I'm so sorry. But that is true.
Well, you know, I think the biggest challenge people have is letting go when something is dead. But I guess if you visualize yourself handcuffed to a corpse, would you really want to stay handcuffed to that corpse and it's rotting and smelly and attracting flies? Would you do that? So if this is your marriage, don't you want the key to unlock those handcuffs so you can let
somebody
the corpse
go? Lord, free me.
But I think it's the early indoctrination, and I have seen this, unfortunately. So many of our religious beliefs, because they are distortions of someone else's misunderstanding that we have accepted, so many of these beliefs become destructive to our lives because we're believing we're supposed to suffer in something and believing that God wants us to suffer in something instead of knowing that all of the signs of your suffering means to let it go. That's the sign. You're praying for an answer. The answer that you're in pain, let it go. That is, you did get the answer. And sometimes we're believing that, well, if I made this vow, I can't break it. God will be displeased with me if I end this relationship because I took a vow to God, I promised. But you need to let go of that which is dead. And sometimes in our not understanding this, we spend a lifetime suffering. And it's if we have died when we could have had life and life more abundantly. So that is really a challenge, I think, when we're not believing that we should be experiencing joy and not pain. We're not here to suffer. If a relationship is not allowing you to share joy, then you need to let it go.
Exactly.
So how do we deal with feelings of loss and belief that we were inadequate, the reason why either this person left us or behaved so badly that we had to leave, and we got, as you speak about, a broken heart? How do we heal from those feelings of, I wasn't good enough, that's the reason why they didn't treat me right, oh, and look, there was someone else who they're treating well, but they didn't treat me well, I must have been defective, I must not have been good enough. How do we heal from those kinds of mistaken beliefs about ourselves as not being worthy or good enough for good treatment?
Well, again, now, guilt is a normal emotion, but when it becomes abnormal, we literally hold on to it, and then the brain tries to rationalize. Guilt has a time limit. It has a time limit, just like shame or remorse. And all of those go into each other. They kind of, they're bedfellows. So when guilt is something that is felt, it is only to help you realize, because when a person feels guilty, they have a conscience, okay? That means, okay, you're a good person, you have a conscience, and that means, okay, be aware of your situation. That does not say that you're not good enough or that you've done something wrong or whatever the case may be. If it happened, it happened. It's nothing you can do with what happened. But when you hold on to that guilt, then it starts to distort your thinking, and that's where you go into those areas. Yeah. When we hold on to guilt, it starts to make us feel inferior. I'm not good enough. We start self-defeating. There we go again. Leading, if we stay there too long, we're going to start self-sabotaging. When somebody says, oh, no, you're all right. Everything is fine. No, I'm not. I'm not. I failed in this relationship. It was all my fault. I should have never done this. I should have never done that. And if they stay there too long, they go into self-destruction. And they no longer look at themselves as worthy of life. And then we've seen this over and over again with someone would literally go into a deep depression, possibly leading into a suicidal attempt. It is just that deep. It's a process of these emotions. When we start feeling these emotions, they're supposed to be felt, released, and let go of. They're not supposed to be kept. And I think that's what happens. We, in our human mind, we think we're supposed to constantly feel these emotions over and over and over again. And the mind is trying to rationalize. Like, well, what is it? Why are you, okay, maybe you're keeping it for this. Maybe you're feeling guilty for that. And that's why these array of distorted thinking and thoughts come about. Because the mind is trying to make sense of why the heart is holding on to it.
Mm. The mind is trying to make sense. Well, we want you to, you know, because your mind knows it doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't feel. See, I think what happens, Naima, I think people feel and think that their mind feels. Your subconscious mind is a thought process. It's not a feeling process. It doesn't have a sense of subconsciously. Now, consciously, eyes wide open, yeah, you feel what your heart is feeling, and you have a thought process. Whatever your mind is thinking, your heart is going to feel that thing, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And if it's something that's associated with your past, it's going to tell your mind, oh, it's sadness or despair. Sadness is a mood. Despair is an emotion. And it's going to look in your Rolodex, which is your memory center of your brain, and it's going to bring everything to that front, years and years of past woes.
Mm.
It's going to come with the present woes. Now you're right back in what they call the victim mentality,
mm.
not realizing that you're shifting all over the place.
Mm.
So when should one heal? As I asked before, what has the, when are you going to do damage control?
Yeah, stop the bleeding. Stop the pain. But we want you to give us a call, 515-605-9325. If you want to connect with us on Facebook Live, go to Soulful Solutions on Facebook, and you can write in your comments on our Facebook page. And, of course, we shared it with our Female Solution Facebook page. And we want you to share this show with your friends who you know might be struggling in a relationship, and maybe they're going through a heartbreak.
Yes.
You know, I think that's probably one of the worst feelings in the world is to have a broken heart, to feel that your heart has been broken, to feel like you have shared yourself with someone and they did not return the feelings, or they changed their mind and decided to get out of the intimate relationship with you if you were in a couple situation, or perhaps they treated you badly and you're still in the situation, but it broke your heart because you felt, how could someone who said they loved me treat me this way? And, you know, again, it often comes down to the foundation that was set when the ones who were raising you defined what love feels like for you. And if they defined love as being pain, then this is what you end up believing love feels like. And if you had feelings of perhaps rejection, if the ones who raised you and defined love for you made you feel rejected because you did not look the way they wanted you to look, if you didn't act the way they wanted you to act, if you didn't display the kind of achievement that they wanted to feel proud of, and they defined love for you as pain, painful remarks, painful treatment, rejection, then this is what you're going to believe love feels like. And if you're in a relationship for a long period of time that's causing you pain, you have to ask yourself, why am I choosing to stay where I am hurting? Why am I not believing I can leave this relationship and attract something that actually feels good? Why am I believing that I cannot? Why am I choosing to try to stay and make this painful situation work when it's dead? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this to myself? So
that's the magic answer. That's the question.
We often keep believing that we must stay someplace that's hurtful. And it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense. But we're afraid of feeling the loss of love. But if it's hurting you, it's not love. How do you know that, though, if the foundation that has been laid for you by the ones who were demonstrating what love is in your mind caused you pain? This is why parenting, as Mark said, it is very important. Parenting is important because you are laying the foundation for the relationships that your children are going to have based on how you have defined how love feels. You can't recreate something if you don't know what it feels like. Mm-hmm. Love does not hurt. Love does not make you sad. Love does not make you feel fear. Love is reassuring and comforting, and it makes you feel secure. When you're constantly afraid that the one you love is going to hurt you or harm you with words or actions, that's not love.
Uh-oh. No, it's not.
So what do you do with, it's like having a house that's built on a cracked foundation. How do you fix that when at the foundation it's cracked? What should a person do? I mean, you know, if you lived in a house that was constantly either falling in or tipping over, you either tear it down or rebuild another house or move to another house. So how do you fix a foundation emotionally when your emotional foundation is cracked or imbalanced and you can't build a healthy relationship from the foundation that you have had from perhaps parents who either had an unloving relationship or an absent relationship? How do you fix that foundation?
Well, I would say both, and this is all mentally, which is called virtually, okay? You have to tear that foundation down and build another one. You're absolutely correct. And the only way to tear it down, you have to love yourself. You have to love yourself enough, and I call it, you know, switching the spoons. I know you've kind of heard me say that before. You switch the spoons. That means that what you have to do for yourself, not for anyone else, in order for you to thrive and also you to live the life that you so rightfully deserve, you have to tear down the foundation. Tearing down the foundation is building up a new network of thought, a new network of habits, a new network of responding and reacting. And you have to do something totally different. Doing the same things over and over again, expecting different results, but we all know that's called insanity. Okay, but more people do that whether they realize it or not. They do it unknowingly that they're constantly cycling into the same things. Some of them are aware and some of them are not aware. Some of them know it and don't know what to do about it. So all I'm saying is you have 100% of yourself. Out of 100%, you have to, by all means necessary, keep 50% in your reservoir. In your reservoir of yourself, in your reservoir, you can divvy out of that 50%. Now, out of the other 50% that you divvy out to family, friends, or wherever you want to, because you are not allowed to go back into your 50% percentile, because if you give up all of that, guess what you're doing? You're giving up your own life. And that's what happens in relationships. We start living for the other person and don't live for ourselves. And we start, instead of us walking aside along with them, no, we walk in their same shoes. That's a problem. Helpmate is supposed to walk alongside. Helpmate means side along. That's what that means. It does not mean that you walk in front of or in the rear of. You walk inside of, equally yoked. I know you heard that before. One can be equally yoked in relationships. It's not just with monogamous or heterosexual relationships with a man and a woman, but also with a mother and her child, whether he's female or male. It has to be a equally yoked. And you say, what does that mean? What does equally yoked mean? That is called homeostasis. That means everything has to balance. You may not see and understand and agree with everything that you hear. But at the same token, you have to look at it as bad. You take the good with the bad, if you understand that meaning. You take the good with the bad and you balance it off to meet your needs. Mm. Instead of looking at it with a pessimistic point of view, you have to look at it with an optimistic point of view. Now, yes, this bad thing happened to me, but what am I going to do with this bad thing? Am I going to allow it to still be as it is in my mind, in my heart, in my spirit, or am I going to take full responsibility and then change for me? Now, the other person may not understand my changes. They may not agree upon my changes, but it is not for them. You forgive yourself, you forgive the next human being, and then you start changing to meet the need of yourself. If you don't do that, what happens is, again, you're going to go back into the same cycle, being chained and bound. And if that's a dysfunctional person in your life, a person that's distorted with distorted thinking of what you are and is not building you up, okay, you're going to continue to get torn down. That's just the bottom line. It's something, again, how can dead things produce life? It can only produce dead things. Mm-hmm. Life produces life. Death produces death.
That's it. Well, we got to take another break, but I have I'm going to throw this out here. An associate of mine is going through a heartbreak, and he is of the belief, he's been through several heartbreaks, and he says, you know, you women always say you want good men, but you really don't. I'm a good guy, but I keep getting these women to treat me so badly. So I think you all just like these bad boys who mistreat you, because I've had, you know, it's the third woman who has broken up with me after I did everything for her. I was kind to her. I gave her things. I treated her well. You know, even she has children from a bad relationship, and she went back to the bad relationship, you know, and I'm the one who's the good guy. So, you know, what is wrong with you all? How come you all will ditch the good guy and go after the one who talks bad to you or beats you or you know, won't support you financially, but then a good guy like me gets stepped on all the time? So he's hurt and bitter and angry. So I want to address maybe what his situation is, because I've observed, well, one thing I've observed, he was raised by a mother who was kind of harsh with him. And the girlfriends that he chooses, the women that he married, they were kind of harsh with him. So it's like he keeps getting women who are not loving and nurturing, wanting them to be loving and nurturing, and they're not. And then when they end the relationship, he says, I did everything to try to get them to love me, and they still went back, either they broke up with me or they went back to that bad person that mistreated them. So he said, what's wrong with you women? Why do you do that to us good men? So I want to take a look at that situation and what that might be actually revealing to us about relationships and choices. So we'll be right back after this last break. And if you're listening online, we want you to join this conversation. Give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Hi, I'm Jody Susan with Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Susan Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses. And we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Susan Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being. And we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
Welcome back to Soulful Solutions, and I'm Dr. Debbie Greenwell, wonderful coach. Woo, wonderful host, Naima Latif. And our topic of the day is how to heal from a broken heart or a broken relationship. And we're at the top of our hour, and you were talking about something. Actually, you were saying that there was a friend of yours that said that women wanted good men but couldn't get good men, or something of that nature.
Well, they reject the good men, and they always go back to the bad ones. He said he's been a good man in several relationships, and the women would break up with him and go back to that one that treated them badly. And he wanted to know, well, what's wrong with you women? You say you want good men, but when a good man like me comes along, you reject us. We do all we can for you. You reject us, and you hang on to that bad boy who's cheating on you, who's abusing you, and who leaves you hanging and you know, doesn't come around or talks to you real mean. But then me, I talk to you nicely. You know, I, you know, buy you things for your children, or kind to you. But yet, you know, I always end up being the one you break up with. And you know, what is it with you women? You say you want somebody that's good, but you don't appreciate a good man like me. So that was his lament. You know, he's hurt, angry, upset. And, you know, my thought, of course, in listening to his complaint was, why are you seeking women who treat you badly? Because
why?
It's kind of the same
thing. I saw
thing.
That, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why go after someone who isn't affirming your worth, trying to change their behavior, instead of attracting someone who, in fact, values you?
Mm-hmm. He he's in a cycle.
Yeah.
He's in a cycle. And the thing about it is, usually people in cycle is going to shift lane or accept it. And right now he's shifting lanes because he's in a cycle. His life, he's looking at the other person as being defective, but no, it's your choice. It's your choices. You're choosing, and you're choosing that particular woman, but it's not even in her. It's inside of you.
Mm.
It's not in her. It's inside of you. It's the way you think. It's the way you feel about women. You see what I'm saying? The thing about it is, and like you were saying, well, maybe he needs to choose someone else of his worth. Even if he did, he's still going to cycle if he don't deal with that stuff that's inside of him. It's not the person on the outside. It's his view. Because he's been hurt. He's been broken. And this has happened to him more than one time. So now he thinks, oh, it's not me. I could get married for 4 or 5 times and all of them fail. No, it's you. It ain't me. Well, think about that.
Mm.
Think about that. You're in the relationship, like, one time it failed. Second time it failed. Third time it failed. Okay. So when is it going to realize, when is the light going to come on that it's not what is on the outside, it's what's going on the inside. It is not no one else's fault. Everything that's happened in your life is based on choice.
Mm.
Your choice to respond, your choice to react, your choice, to choose who you want in your life. You know, all of this is based on choice. You made a choice to bring this into your world. So now you have created this ongoing thought pattern of cycling, and now you realize, okay, it's a problem. Okay, it ain't me, because you don't want to look at yourself. You just want to look at someone else and say, oh, yeah, you got the problem, because I am good enough, but you don't see my worth. Because you want to go with the, then you start deteriorating someone else's choice, saying, yes, you'd rather choose somebody that's going to hurt you or take advantage of you than to choose me. But who gave you that authority to make a choice for somebody else?
Yeah.
No, it's not that. Your choice is for you to think that you're not worthy of this person.
Mm.
Let's keep it real.
Mm.
You're not worthy of this person. Okay, because you're still thinking with your broken mind.
Mm.
You're thinking with your broken mind. The one that kept going through the cycles of past situations. The one that kept being hurt or kept being rejected over and over again. So your mind is trying to analyze. You know, why am I keep getting rejected? What's going on? Oh, yeah, that's right. It's not my fault. Of course. No one wants to, people who don't want to do a self-introspection will always say it's the outside.
It's the other person. But the question is, why am I choosing people who are not affirming my worth if
correct.
I say I value myself?
And if you value yourself, seek your own truth. Okay, I was the problem. All of these relationships I did, let me look inside myself. Where did I drop the ball? And it's not for you to feel guilty now, okay? It's not for you to form some, victim mentality. No. Don't go there. No, it's for introspection.
Right.
It's like, let me be consciously aware and be responsible and be accountable for my own life. That's what that means.
Right. Because, he said something that really I thought was outrageous. He was saying, well, maybe, instead of me being so nice, maybe I need to slap around these women like the men that they keep choosing do because they don't appreciate me being kind. And I'm thinking, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to be that kind of person? And why would you want to be with someone who'd want to be with that kind of person? I guess, like you say, it's cycles. If you keep choosing people who hurt you, maybe because they've been hurt, and you keep thinking you can change their behavior, and of course, as you say, you can't change anyone but yourself, but you keep trying to change their behavior, and their behavior is causing you pain, why are you staying in a relationship that hurts you, because obviously that person isn't going to give you what you need and desire for yourself. So why are you trying to make them do that? Why not find someone who is already appreciative or treating you as you wish to be treated?
Well, our viewer says on Facebook Live, Carolyn Hurd, I always say fix your picker.
Fix your picker.
Because we make a choice to be with the people who we choose.
Absolutely.
And I like that.
Absolutely. Fix your picker.
So you got to fix you first, okay?
Right.
Go ahead and repair your broken part.
Right.
You know, and don't worry. The universe will send you what you need.
Right.
When you are truly repaired.
Yeah.
Now, if you're looking, okay, if you expect the universe to send you someone when you're all broken and fragmentized, guess who you're going to attract? The same kind of people.
Yeah, broken people attract broken people.
Okay.
And what happens?
It happens.
I mean, sometimes those broken relationships last a while because you got two broken people that, and like you talk about the codependency, you have two broken people who are staying together broken, but then once one of them becomes repaired, they're going to leave that relationship because it's no longer feeding their brokenness. And that's what happens also, too. You might have two addicts or you know, two people who have a lot of emotional illnesses, a lot of brokenness inside of them. And maybe they, and matter of fact, we all know these kind of couples. You know, they fight all the time. You know, the police is always at their house. Somebody's getting hauled away because of domestic violence, and then they come right back, and they go over and over and over again. And you wonder, well, how in the world are they staying together? But these are two broken, dysfunctional people. This is how they're functioning together. So that relationship stays like that until one of them is healed, and then they leave. But
either that self-destruction comes.
Oh,
yeah. You know,
or one of them kills the other or something. But, you know, they both are staying in that broken relationship.
Yes.
By choice, because we have free will. You can choose to leave. And if you believe you can't take care of yourself because of your financial dependency, that's a fear that you have of your inadequacy to be able to take care of yourself. You're still not being forced to stay. You're choosing to stay because of your belief and your inadequacy to take care of yourself. You believe
Absolutely.
That. And so you create that condition by not doing the things necessary to prepare yourself to be able to take care of yourself. You're choosing that. And I think that's the hardest thing for people who are in that victim mentality to understand. You are choosing to stay because of your belief in your inadequacy, your belief about yourself. Nobody can fix that. You have to choose to change what you think about yourself.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, because that's the only way it's going to change. And we have, the greatest thing about it is we have self-power. And most people don't even use their self-power. You have power of choice, power of decision, power of purpose, power of intention. You know what I'm saying? You have, it's so many powers that you have, and you have to be proactive with your life, not reactive. If you reactive, you will always be behind the eight ball, okay? You will always be second, third, fourth in line, and you want to know, well, how this person just up and leave me, because they got proactive on you. That's what happened. They started making a plan, and they went on about their business and left you all in the bag, or, you know, staying in the boat, you know, of misery. No, they got on out there, and they kept on moving. So that's the goal. The goal is to love yourself enough where you literally think, that, you know, sometimes you have to sit down with paper and pen. Okay, what's really going on? And write out everything that you're going through. So your brain can analyze it and do something different.
So now I have have another situation to share. You know, a friend who her husband left her for another woman, and she is angry and heartbroken. She's angry at the husband. She's angry at the woman. She feels betrayed, and she feels devastated. She speaks of, you know, I'm a good woman. How could he have done this? I'm a good woman. I pray. I'm spiritual. And yet he left me for someone else. How could he have done that to me? You know, my self-esteem now is, you know, in the toilet because he just made me feel worthless. How does a person recover from that feeling, especially if their definition of their worth was based on someone else's choice, someone else's behavior, someone else's decision? And so now they're believing because this relationship ended that there must be something defective about them. How do they undo that thought and regain their feeling of self-worth without using all their energy to project anger at the person who left them and anger at the person who they're now with?
Well, that's what we were just kind of referring to. That person got proactive, the person that left. Got proactive and made a choice. I no longer wanted to be in this relationship. And the thing about it is most people don't ask people's permission all the time to leave.
Right.
You know, they might have told them in some type of way, this is not working. Some action, some habit of something clearly let that person know. But again, because of the other person not being totally aware of what's going on, you know, they just think, oh, it's going to get better. Oh, I'll still stay here. And that other person is making plans to exit the building, okay?
Mm.
They're making plans. And so it makes the person that's in that position, it makes them angry because of they choose to do something for themselves and not do something with the other person. So how can one not be mad? Well, here comes this thing called radical acceptance. You're either going to stay, it's like with two sides to this coin, Naima. You're either going to stay angry, bitter for the rest of your life towards yourself and towards this person. Are you going to let well enough alone and start being proactive with your life and start looking at other avenues of health, wholeness, and wellness? You cannot do both. You make it go back on that pendulum swing, as one would say, because one minute you're thinking this, next minute you're thinking that, but one is going to win. One is going to get the better of you. If that bitterness, unforgiveness, anger gets the better of you, self-sabotage, self-destruction, self-defeat. There's no life there. Again, we're still talking about dead things. But let's say you're like, okay, que sera, sera. Whatever's going to be is what's going to be, all right? So at that point, you then start rationalizing, okay, I'm not going to look at me as the victim any longer. I am going to go ahead and move on. I'm going to find peace in this thing. No matter how hard this is for me, I got to make peace with it because if I stay in this position, it is toxic.
Mm.
How can one heal from a toxic situation that's ongoing? It's impossible.
You're in it, it can't heal, right?
It's so, just like having a surgery that, you know, you don't want to heal from the surgery. The sutures are still fresh, and you keep them fresh. And even though it looks like it wants to heal, you go in there and you start digging at that area, you know, not wanting it to get well. At least allow the top to get well so you can heal from the inside out. But when you're bitter and angry, you don't even let the top heal. You're still angry, and it becomes toxic to your soul, and you have to move on with love. One should always move on with love. Move on with love. Hey, I love you in my brokenness. I love you because I was damaged with you or without you, or we both were. I love you enough to let you go so I can move into a safety zone. I may not know what to do at first, but I got to get myself to a safety zone so I can begin my healing process.
So now, my friend who's going through the anger and bitterness said, well, you all need to do a show about how these women betray each other, because if there's real sisterhood, that woman would not have taken my man. She would not have taken him from me if there was real sisterhood. And
oh my
I'm
goodness.
Trying to process... How can someone take someone from you? You know, people choose who they want to form emotional attachments with, and they choose who they want to detach from. And you cannot own a person. You can't own their emotions. You can't own their spirit. You can't own them. You can choose to have an experience together. You can choose to have a relationship together. You can choose to walk down the road of life together. You can choose to be life partners. But then one may choose to go on a different path of life. It's a free will choice. You cannot own someone. So how do you address the feelings that people have that this is mine, I own this person, and you don't have a right to attract him or accept his advances toward you and in his preparation of leaving me? Maybe that's what happened. But, you know, if she was a real woman, like my friend said, she would have made him go back to his wife instead of allowing him to leave his wife and family and be with her. If she was a real woman, she would have done that. But can someone make you go back to a relationship where you have chosen not to be in? I mean, what is, because I've you know, been asked to address this with the belief that we're supposed to make people stay in the relationships that they're in, even if they don't want to be there. How do we address that situation when it comes to someone wanting to make a decision to leave a relationship because they're unhappy?
Well, first of all, we can't control people, so I don't know. That's a very distorted thinking person. You cannot control people's actions, behaviors, attitudes, personalities, none of that, or, and definitely not choices. So no one can take anything from you. No. No one, I mean, you act like, she act like somebody came into the house without her knowing and stole her man. No, I don't.
Put a bag over his head and dragged him out.
No.
Stole my man.
It don't be broke into your house. No, you left the door open, girlfriend. Oh, my goodness. Look at that. You left the door open because it was damage control gone bad. All right? So, you know, he made a choice. He was the one. They take two to tango, baby. He made the choice. He went elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
He made the choice. And he made that choice based on what he wanted. And it ain't that. No one can take, no. It takes two to tango. He had to submit himself to those, you know, affairs or whatever it was. You know, he had to have some kind of initiation. I don't know why people feel that way. That somebody can come and take something from you, like a person, a whole body, really? No. Somebody can't take no body from you. That person has to leave you. They left you. If you want to get upset, and, you know, at anyone, you go ahead, you get upset at maybe the person, but not so much you get upset to where you're going to cause harm, but you let them know how you feel, and then you make a decision. Is this person worthy of me being still in this relationship? Because this relationship was breached, right? When it was breached, okay, you want to stay in a breach situation that doesn't look like it's going to heal, then you can only blame yourself. You can't blame the other person.
Mm.
Because the other person is just doing what they're doing, whatever that is, dysfunctional or functional.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to you to make the choice whether you want to stay in it or get out of it. So, no, the guilt, you can't, who's the guilt trip going to be on? Oh, you should tell that person that left you. You should feel guilty because you left me. You abandoned me. You left me. What does that sound like? We right back into that victim mentality again.
Mm.
You're having a tantrum. You're having a tantrum, and guess what? The reality says that person can do whatever they want to do in their life because they're free agents. They can think. They can move just like you can, and if they choose to no longer be in your life by action, by behavior, that's what it is.
That's the choice.
See, the truth, and the truth will set you what?
Free. Yes. And I think maybe our difficulty in forming healthy relationships. We're always, especially if you've in any kind of way experienced loss, whether it maybe was the death of a parent or a divorce, but some kind of way, something in you is feeling fear of the pain of loss, and so you're thinking that you should be able to own and control someone so that they can't leave you, and that's where jealousies come in and fear and all of those things that actually are not expressions of a healthy relationship. Because in a healthy relationship, you honor each other's free will choice, and you're choosing to be together because you are sharing the joy that you already have inside of you. You're not expecting that person to make you feel happy or to give you happiness. You already have it. So you can only share what you already have. But mm-hmm. when you don't have it and you're angry at a person for not giving it to you, then, well, as you said in the beginning, you got to go back and look at your relationship with yourself.
Correct.
Fix that first. That is the foundation. That's where everything starts. And
it always starts with the self. It's going to end with the self. And until one has self-discovery and self-acceptance, accept your good, your bad, and your ugly, accept your past, accept your broken parts, accept all of those things, then you shall be free. Love yourself a little!
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us Thursday. Right back here. All right. Thursdays.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www. NAIMAHLAIF.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I would like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you.
Love you guys.
All right,
please send me a comment or solution or something. Let me know how the show blessed my email address. It's soulfulsolutions@gmail.com.
France.
Please
Merci.
Send me an email.
Spain.
And if there's something you want
Gracias.
To
say, Italy.
Egypt,
Shukran, Ghana, Malawi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Gabon, Senegal, Janet, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakor, Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.